Howdy, hold heads. I'm Kurt Money. Wait. Howdy, hold heads. I'm Kurt Money. Oh, wait. I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm going to get it right this time, okay?
Yeah.
Howdy, hold heads. I'm Kurt Money. And this is my co-host.
It me.
Alongside my co-host.
Oh, okay. Let's start over.
Start over.
Let's
okay.
start
okay.
over.
I'm Lester Holt.
And we're off and running into a shorty Dateline for sure.
Here's Andrea Canning with The Room Downstairs.
Not only was it a shorty, it was almost 75% old episode, if you couldn't tell.
You will look into the darkness. You will look into the abyss. You will cry forever.
But before I tell you about those juicy deets, Kateline, hit me. What'd you think of this episode?
Well, I'd seen it in 2017, so...
You remembered it?
I remembered it, which is why I thought the teaser at the beginning was kind of bananas. Because if you hadn't seen it, you would think this case was about a completely different kind of murder.
Right away, I knew there was something suspicious.
He had been murdered.
We focused on motive, his relationship with Sophie. That was very important.
She was head over heels for Rob.
Yeah, he adored her.
They made it sound like the victim had an ex-wife who was crazy and posed as different people in emails to f*** with him and then catfished him and then murdered him.
Yeah.
Which is not at all what happened, and the ex-wife was hardly even in it at all.
And I started to develop feelings for him as well.
No, and she seemed like a real sweet gal.
Yeah.
To be honest, too. I felt bad for her. Okay, so here's the IMDb description. This is for The Room Downstairs, which aired January 4th of 2024. While responding to a house fire in New Jersey, firefighters discover the burned remains of homeowner Rob Cantor in the basement. New interviews and legal developments about the latest twists and turns in the case. Well, there's an update descript if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, it's not a twist and turn. It's just an appeal.
Yeah, what's funny is like the original The Fire Inside episode.
The Fire Inside.
From what I can tell, because of course they've wiped the episode from the web.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find like a minute thing here or like 45 seconds here when they did like promotions. And also all the old videos are expired because like news programs and I know sports and stuff, like you have the rights for stuff for a year and then you got to pay again. So I get why they pulled all the old clips and stuff, but they didn't pull them from Facebook because like Facebook like keeps them or uploads their own. So they have a lot of old clips of this episode.
You will cry forever.
And it was very interesting that the angle of the first one is what I think they meant by twists and turns. Is that this was the third house fire and death that had happened in Teaneck, New Jersey in like a month or something.
In the same neighborhood, yeah.
There were two other deaths, and that looked to be, even though the trial happened in the old episode as well, the description and stuff was like, is there a serial killer on the loose? We know now, and they knew then, there wasn't, because, well, one, those two women were killed with a knife, and then the house was burned.
Three murders in 1 year, all covered up by fires.
Here's the deal. As in the past, I've been upset about Dateline wiping old episodes or can't find the old episodes and stuff. I'm not going to be upset about that anymore because here's what I think it is. I was watching old Datelines on Daily Motion. Don't tell NBC, they got old ones on there. And they're in like 4.3 SD. I love it. And actually, I have one that I'm watching that is on Peacock 2, the updated version.
Mm.
Okay. So I'm going to get to see what it was. Now, one thing I saw, they did have a framing that was so, I mean, it was god awful in 2017, but it looked terrible today. So I get why that's out of here. But this is the epiphany I had today. In that episode, the Dateline title said Dateline with Lester Holt. And Lester Holt was as big as Dateline.
Wow.
Size-wise. So this makes me think if they were to put up those old credits, they might have to pay him again.
Mm.
Which they should, obviously. But like, you know how like when people's names are in credits, they get money even if they're not in the episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I bet it was a contract thing that got his name up there to begin with, and now it's not in the contract. So they're probably like, well, we're not just going to remove it from ones that say Dateline with Lester Holt. Why not just do it to them all?
I see what you're saying.
Like, that's not cold hard proof, but it just made me really think about, all right, well, look, while it does bug me if the decision was made to not let the old stuff be seen because it looks old, that's upsetting. But I feel like with this thing about how sometimes Lester's name is in the credits or sometimes not, it just reminds me that there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that a production team has to deal with. And there's a lot of stuff that we don't see. So like my new angle is going to be, I'm just grateful for the ones that we do have. How's that sound? I'm being very sympathetic to the production team of Dateline, not to Peacock, because we know how I feel about the cock. Okay? Stinkaroo. But Dateline production team, I love ya.
But don't you have a man on the inside who could answer this question for you?
Yeah, we do have an inside scooper. We got him. Deej. He doesn't have Dateline specific, but I could ask him that, I suppose. I bet it has something to do with that. So anyway, I'm not going to get mad about that. And another thing that these little clips on Facebook allowed me to do was see clips. Anytime we saw AC or a talking head, you know, I screenshot that so quick because it's easier to tell when an episode was shot at in different times because the other guys, like, they don't change as much. Now, J-Mank does a little because he was a little thicker at one point. And I know this because when I first fell in love with Dateline in the early 2010s, that was a bond I had with old J-Mank. Is that I felt like when I looked at that guy, he was wearing shorts underneath that blazer because he didn't have to wear pants on camera.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I felt from him. I felt the second he walked home, the cuffs were on. I feel like he was only wearing jeans if he had to.
Sure.
That was what I originally fell in love with. And now he looks great and I'm happy for him. He's probably a lot healthier, but that's what first drew me to him. I said, this guy f-ing gets it. He's into cuffs. I know it.
Mm-hmm. Who else was this going to be?
Like, you could tell these were different years because of AC's hair. Am I wrong?
That's not the only thing I could distinguish, Kurt.
Ooh, I think you're... Okay, hit me. I'm worried about what you're going
to
say.
Now, no shade to your girl.
Okay, what?
But she had different teeth.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, but that's not a bomb. We've discussed that. That's okay. That's okay.
We haven't discussed her old teeth.
We just talked about how they were too white. I just assume she got veneers like they all do.
She did.
Yeah, so you think that happened since those old episodes.
Well,
so what did her old teeth look like?
Her old teeth are in this one. So in 2017, she had her old teeth.
But, I mean, they didn't jump out at me. Were they not rocking?
She had no reason to get veneers. Her teeth were fine.
Oh, okay, cool. That's not shade. So she had cool teeth before, and now she has like super white cool teeth.
Yeah, I don't always know why people decide to get them.
Yeah. I don't know. But you could tell her hair was a little bit longer then. So this means, I think the only new interviews they had were with Merdad.
He was a kid at heart.
And Rob's sister.
And my brother was a triathlete.
Well, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, Detective Cecilia Love.
Absolutely.
Tony Tung.
I didn't kill him.
Prosecutor.
You will cry.
Defense attorneys.
They just let it slide.
Everybody but those two family members. Now, there were complaints on the Facebook. This was another thing where they're like, why wouldn't they talk to Sophie? Or why wouldn't they talk to Sophie's kids? And it's like, hey, dumb shit. They asked them. Don't think that they didn't ask Sophie if she wanted to be on Dateline.
Yeah. That,
she said no, clearly. Like, are you that stupid?
Those are the first people that they go to.
Yeah. So, like for instance, when we get mad about them not having experts on, our solution, don't do the episode until you get them.
Right.
That's the difference between us and these Facebook haters,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we're perfect. They suck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We should probably get into this.
Yeah. It is early March of 2011 in Teaneck, New Jersey. There is a house fire in a neighborhood spotted by this former fireman who was so stoked to tell AC his story. Was he not, Kate?
He was. He saw this fire. His girlfriend called 911.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I loved that the 911 operator told her to get everyone out of the house. Like,
yeah.
Random woman, go into that burning house that's not yours without protective gear and get everyone out. What?
Yeah.
And it's the back of the house is on fire.
Okay, get everybody out of the house.
That was nuts. And also, the 911 op kind of sounded like her boyfriend.
So I decided to just quickly run back to my girlfriend, said, listen, call 911.
So I was confused of who was telling her, because the boyfriend is the one that called the girlfriend and said, quit, call the police. And then he gave us his beat by beat of when he was like, left foot in front of the other, then the right one.
Uh-huh.
And I walked over to the fire. I noticed these ambers and they were orange. And that's when it hit me. This is on fire.
Now I saw the smoke go from left to right over there on that corner. It's like, yeah. Guy, we get it. The house was on fire.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that there was a bright amber glow, I knew that was a definite fire.
And then also he said that he noticed a neighbor's spigot was going off. So he put it on the windowsill, but those flames were really going.
I also noticed that the neighbor had a spigot nearby. I was pouring water on the windowsill, but that fire inside was rolling.
And so I saw that and said, oh, is that like a little fireman's pro tip? Like how cops put their fingers on the rear view. Is this like a little trick I don't know about? So I hit up our man on the inside, Firefighter McClizzew.
The fire team? Yeah. No. Never heard it called as fire team before, but that's good.
I had to really explain to him the context because he was so baffled as to why someone would put water on a windowsill if a house is on fire. It's not a trick. That guy's a dumb shit. And I have it confirmed from a fireman that that's nonsense.
Love it.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. So Neighborhood Watch calls the police. They get him over, and this house is really on fire. They could tell that the source of it is from the basement.
And they could tell by the way it was burning that there was definitely some accelerant used. This was not just like a naturally occurring thing. And when they put the fire out, they found a body.
This was where the mystery started for them because they did not understand how a fire can start where a man who is a triathlete would not run away from the instant it started. Like the confusion of the idea of this guy getting caught in a fire like he's some sort of superhuman was hysterical.
Right. Like if a fire starts and it's between you and the exit, it doesn't matter how much of an athlete you are.
Yeah. And also, I feel like so much of the fire, the smoke gets you before the flames do.
Mm-hmm.
It's so instant. It doesn't matter how fast you are or how healthy you are. If you inhale a shit ton of smoke, I mean, I don't know. But it was just funny because even AC is like, why don't you think that your brother could get caught in the fire? And she's like, well, he just couldn't. It had to have been a heart attack. I liked her, though.
Why didn't you think he could die in a fire? People die in fires.
And my brother was a triathlete. There's no way I could imagine he would have died in a fire.
But then they did discover that he had been shot.
Yeah, so that was, even in this episode, was framed as a big doozy. It was not a doozy to me, I suppose, because it was all in the beginning or whatever. But they presented as a truth bomb that there was a bullet hole in the back of his head.
Right.
They did some lab tests. Turns out it was ethanol that he was covered in. That means he was shot. The fire was started on his body. Whole place goes up in flames.
You know, I liked his sister too, Leslie.
Wouldn't you go?
She really liked orange makeup.
Yeah, she did.
She had orange lipstick, orange blush, and kind of orangey hair.
Orange hair. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
And I feel like she turned it up since the 2017 trial because you can see her in the audience with Rob's family. And I'm like, whoa, she doesn't seem like full Rob sis mode right now. Like, I feel like she's not 100% herself yet. I love her look. She was great. So there's a fire and they're starting to notify Rob's loved ones. Rob is a 59-year-old good looking guy. I felt like he's your style. Did you find this guy attractive, Kate?
No. But there was someone else in this that I was really feeling.
Not Murdad. Don't tell me Murdad.
Yeah.
You've got to be shitting me.
Oh, yeah. Kurt, let me tell you about it.
Please do.
I love this man. He is so...
Oh, my God.
He is so cute and so funny. And he seems like one of those men that aggressively yells compliments at women from a sidewalk cafe in Rome. It's like... catcalling at a construction site, but it's charming because it's Europe.
Yeah, I can see that. And coming from him.
This guy, like Rob, was a runner, so he's got a great body. And I would.
Yep. Kate, I'm equally amazed and annoyed at how I don't have a grasp on your type. I don't. You are an enigma to me, Caitlin.
I don't have a type. It takes all kinds, Kurt. All kinds.
And I'm just that Murdad is your guy, or Murdoch. Why that was a nickname, I don't know, and why they spent a lot of time on that little part was fun, too. What do you think?
They seemed like they had a great friendship.
The bromance began.
Yeah, absolutely.
I loved Murdad. Now, he was in hella shape, okay? He looked great. But he looked like someone very specific.
Who?
Have you ever seen The Island of Dr. Moreau?
Which version?
With Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer and David Thewlis. From the mid-90s?
No. I don't think I have.
Okay, so he looks like the guy on the left in this picture I'm going to send you, okay? His name's Nelson De La Rosa.
He does. He does look like that guy.
Right?
Is that actor actually, like, 1 foot tall?
Yeah. Yeah, he is short, but he's got, like, body prosthetics on.
Yeah.
But even the actor kind of looks like that guy. I'm talking about, like, the eyes and nose. There's something about that little guy. Murdoch is rocking as well.
Yeah. That's the exact same face. I'm not going to lie. That's the exact same face.
Yeah. Now, for anybody who's seen the movie, it's the little guy that was not part of the movie. Marlon Brando was like, this guy needs to be in the movie. And he was. And Marlon Brando.
Oh, is that your Brando?
It was. It started okay. But the point is this. Brando, for as crazy as he was, he had a magic and he was f***ing right sometimes. Because that's the only memorable part of that movie, is that little guy.
He just wants to shake your hand.
We're moving on, but I'm posting a pic of that guy side by side because I feel like it's right on. All right, they're notifying friends. No, Murdoch is a guy that he worked with. They were both engineers. I did some digging. They worked at Verizon. They didn't say so, but they did. Here's why I like this Rob guy. The victim, he had left this funny voicemail from Murdoch where he is saying the funniest things. And now that voicemail is probably 15 years old at this point. Murdoch's probably told that story to news programs a million times.
A million times.
But goddammit, if he isn't laughing like it's the first time he heard it. Mm-hmm. He's genuinely tickled by this voicemail, right?
I have left.
I've always hated you. I hate the day that I met you. I left with somebody who's much better looking than you, which isn't difficult to find, and I curse you.
I curse you. And then the way that AC is wanting him to talk about it, but all he can do is repeat it and laugh.
Nice sense of humor.
Absolutely. So, I hate you. I hate you. And in your heart, I said, I left with somebody much better looking that is not difficult to find.
I just, it was delightful. And it was a great message. And you know what?
He's cute.
He is. Oh, yep. He's, I'm not going to lie. He is cute. Mm-hmm. He is cute. But Rob looked like Jack's dad from Lost. Yeah.
I don't party with Lost.
I always forget that.
Dang it, what an idiot.
Do you party with Timothy Dalton's first Bond, The Living Daylights? Because he was Felix Leiter in that.
Well, out of the two of us, which one has met Timothy Dalton?
Oh, do tell.
Nope.
Do tell.
Nope.
What do you mean?
That'll give too much of my identity away.
Oh my God. Okay, so you're just going to drop the bomb that you've met Timothy Dalton, but you're not giving context.
Nope.
Because it'll give away your identity. Mm-hmm. It'll be like, well, I handed him an Oscar, so you'd know who I am because I was on TV or whatever. Okay, all right. You're buddies with Timothy Dalton.
If I said where we were, it would give it away.
All right. Hey, another mystery. Okay, so this guy was murdered, so they look into his personal life. He is separated from his wife, or they were going through a divorce, but she was a sweetheart. She was upset. I mean, they talked to her, even though her alibi was I was at home on the phone, they bought it. I mean, I get it. She was sweet.
Yeah.
She even hugged, later she hugged Sophie.
She did.
Like the quote-unquote other woman to her, gave her a hug in court. That was warming. Yeah?
Yeah, but also, she had already moved on from Rob when Rob started seeing Sophie. So, like, it never bothered her. She was cool with it from the jump.
Yeah, I mean, she still lived in the house.
She did.
When they were dating.
But it sounds like he lived in the basement and she lived on the second floor.
So Sophie and Rob meet at, like, a tech conference years ago because she was wearing a running shirt. And they both love to run, so they start talking about that. They hit it off, and Rob's into her. Problem is, Sophie's married with three kids, and she's trying to get a divorce from her husband, Tony Tung. And no matter how cool his name may sound or how much fun it is to write down, boy, does this guy suck some
This guy is the opposite of cool. This guy sucks so hard.
He sucks so aggressively hard. And I'm kind of afraid of him. I'm a little afraid of him, Kate.
I totally know what you mean. He's a psychopath.
And there are probably five reasons why we could say he's a psychopath. He installed a keystroke memory program on his wife's computer so he knew all of her emails. He sent anonymous emails to Rob saying, oh, she looks French. I saw you turn left on this street that day.
He would say, you know, I saw you walking around the Upper West Side. She's French, no?
And when Tony Tung found out that Sophie, even though they're going through a split themselves, and when Rob was murdered, they didn't live together. They lived in different places.
Yeah, Sophie right? moved out with the kids.
Sophie moved out with the kids. And so Tony Tung, back in 2017, AC sat with him. Now, I'm putting Tony Tung up there with the likes of the bald guy who killed his daughter that put the camera inside the vent.
Yes, we just did that one.
Yeah, Tony Tung had that kind of vibe with AC where AC was just like, what the hell are you talking about?
What could you gain by seeing that room?
I guess in a way how he treated her.
Every explanation he gave for his whereabouts and his motivations behind what he did, she was like, no, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it...
What?
Yeah, and Tony Tung would respond with such calm confidence sometimes.
Psycho.
And his answer would be so absurd that I'm genuinely like, ew, ick, this guy is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And this all starts when he decides to confront Rob. Kate, why don't you tell us about that?
He went to Rob's house to introduce himself.
Yep.
And Rob let him in, being the nice guy that he is. And he was probably like, this guy's fucking crazy. I better be nice to him.
Yeah.
He offered him like a cup of tea.
Coffee.
He showed him the basement where he and Sophie first had sex because he wanted to see where it was. And then he was like angry that it was in a basement and thought she deserved better than that.
This whole Moment in Time and Explanation is the fulcrum of this episode and the one in 2017, and I think they corrected the error of their ways. Forget the bait and switch of the serial killer. Name the episode The Room Downstairs. That's where they had sex, and that's where the guy killed him, because he had sex there. And his reason is because his ex-wife is better than that and shouldn't have to sleep in a basement. That's bonks.
I remember I was a little upset.
That it was a room in the basement?
Yeah. You took Sophie down here? What the hell's wrong with you? You can't go to the hotel?
To which I say, if that's true, then why is your apartment so terrible?
His apartment was not an apartment. I mean, he looked like he lived under the stairs. Like, it was bad. Like, I saw, like, piping. And, like, his sink was the kind in garages where they have, like, the reusable towel thing at, like, a car mechanic. Right? Didn't this place look like a fucking dump?
It was absolutely disgusting. And I really hope the kids never had to be there.
No.
Like, I hope that the apartment they all lived in together was different. And this was just his sad divorce pad. And that the kids never went there because it's unlivable.
Oh, yeah. So when the cops catch wind of Tony Tung, they ask him to come in and explain himself, which he does willingly. He says, no, I didn't do it. I was in New York, because this is in Teaneck, New Jersey, where he was killed, and Tony Tung's bachelor pad shithole was in Manhattan. So in between these two places is a bridge, and the way that people talk about this bridge, you must get your picture taken every time you cross it. I've never been to New York, Kate. Fill me in. Is that how it works?
There's a bridge and tunnel crowd, and that's what the commuters are referred to as bridge and tunnel. So you come into Manhattan on a bridge or through a tunnel, like the Lincoln Tunnel, or you're on a train, which also goes through a tunnel, and they're all ports of entry. So yeah, the bridges have tolls. Your car is going to get photographed.
Yeah, but you just said you could also take a train there.
You could, but he didn't have any proof of taking a train either.
They didn't mention a train or anything. They just said his car didn't leave that spot, and he did not cross the bridge. So that just meant he got a ride, or he took another mode of transportation. I mean, that's what I'm suggesting. And the bridge and tunnel thing you're suggesting is they did not cross off tunnel, Kate. They did not talk about tunnel.
They never said that he could have taken a train, huh?
No.
That's how most New Yorkers would get there.
And that's why I think the prosecutor was like, he got there, just didn't use his car. Like, I'm kind of with the prosecutor of like, because that's all the defense has, right? That's Tony Tung's whole defense is, I was in New York. How could I do it?
How'd I know? How would I know? I'm in New York.
I was in New York. You don't have any proof I crossed that bridge. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. But there are many other ways to get over there. And also, New Yorkers, if they do have cars, he's not going to move his car. If he has prime parking like that. And his car was like right outside of his apartment building. And to get that spot, you're not going to move that unless you really need to.
You're right.
That's not going anywhere.
I needed to hear that in the trial. I'll bet it was said, but I needed to hear it because, Caitlin, you're f***ing dead on, okay? I lived in Chicago and I would not drive my car for months because of the parking spot I had.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. So he found another way there. So, okay, either he like jumped a turnstile at the train, or maybe he paid with coins.
There'd still be footage of that.
They would have mentioned it though, and we would have, like, somebody would watch it, but they didn't mention any of those things. They just said it was 2011. This was the Stone Ages. People didn't have ring cam.
Oh, that's true. He could have taken a cab and paid cash.
Exactly. I think there's a ton of ways, and I think that as his defense, that does not hold water.
Yeah.
Now, his defense attorney, Kate, can you tell me about his look?
Oh, God, Kurt. This man had one dangling chandelier earring. Okay, so...
Yeah, it was a big old hoop.
So you're on trial for murder, and that guy walks in and introduces himself as your lawyer. You gotta be thinking, I'm f***ed. It's over before it starts.
Yeah.
Because that is not the lawyer that's gonna win this one.
Yeah.
And he was such a slow talker. It must have taken him forever to get that closing argument out.
Yes.
It's just a normal that he decided to do it at that time.
You're right. Because I was watching Detective Celia Love. She was a real Rosie Perez type, the detective that was driving around and stuff.
She was.
She was shocked, like anyone would be if you found out that information.
You saw her in court. You could see her staring at him, waiting for him to get those f***ing words out because he wouldn't say it, okay? So one, he's an older guy. He's got a big old face, hoop earring.
No, chandelier.
And I believe would be played by Alfred Molina.
Chandelier earring in the interview.
What do you mean, chandelier? It was a hoop. What are you talking about?
He had a chandelier dangly earring. In court, it was a hoop.
Hey, you know what? Future Kurt, settle this for us, because I feel like I would have remembered a chandelier. I hope so. I hope you're right. I don't remember. I feel like it was always a hoop.
He had two different kinds of earrings. That man has an arsenal of jewelry.
Yeah. He's probably got a diamond stud. He's got a lot of options. He's like, oh, closing arguments, got to be hoop. Ooh, AC's going to be there, got to go dangly.
And we're not talking
like
little tiny hoop that a lot of men wore in the 90s.
No.
We are talking like a big hoop.
Like I did. I wore in the early 2000s.
Did you?
Yeah. I had my ear pierced.
Which ear?
Left.
Left.
Oh, but also that thing you're saying in your head is homophobic. We didn't know that then.
No.
Are you thinking left is right, right is wrong? That's what it was to me as a kid. I had no idea what it was saying.
I know that a lot of men now have both, but in the 90s, it was just one.
And which side it was indicated your sexuality. That was you don't remember that being a part of it?
I feel like I learned that after the fact.
Wow. Okay. Well, me as a dude who got it pierced and was called a lot of things at school before they made me take it out. Oh, I also had a ponytail at school that made me take it out. I used to be such a hard ass. Can't lie. Always be getting sent to the principal because I had stubble or my hair was over my collar or my tie wasn't tied enough. Woo!
Hold up. Did you have a uniform?
That's true. Yeah. When I went to Dwenger, I went to a Catholic high school for half of my senior year, and I had to wear a tie every day. Yeah. Yeah, but let me tell you something. You can bet that when we're done recording, I'm going to send you my senior picture. And I'll tell you this, Caitlin, he was on top of the world, looks-wise. The hair was there. It was in tip-top shape.
Good, honey.
Anyway, I was super cool with an earring, and so was this guy, and he would be played by Alfred Molina in the movie.
You know, I've met Alfred Molina.
Shut! Okay, can you tell me where or when?
On a TV show.
Oh.
He goes by Fred.
No sh**. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting that in the pod. Can I put that in the pod? That he goes by Fred. That's pretty cool.
Sure.
I love that.
He was the nicest man.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you are name dropping today. And I love it. It's names that I drop and you go, I've met them. I can't talk about it. Move on. That's pretty cool.
Listen, the secret life of Caitlin.
Spinoff.
Premiering Thursday right after Cheers on NBC.
Tony Tung and AC. AC's reactions were great. And actually on the Facebook, they had a still of her like making like a frowny face. And they were like, check out who she's making this face to this Friday. And it was Tony Tung. Because here's the thing, real quick, back on his whole thing of like, he goes over there and he says, take me to the room where you guys first f-. And AC is like, what? And this guy winds up like he has a perfectly reasonable explanation. And all it is, I'm here, why not? That was why. He goes, well, I might as well see the whole thing.
I'm confronting someone's having an affair with my wife. Might as well see the rest of it.
Why? Why see the whole thing? What are you talking about?
He sucks.
Yeah. He sucks big time.
I forget if we've talked about the Twitter questions that pop up on the screen.
We've definitely mocked them between us. I'm not sure if it's made the pod yet.
You and I have talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we've talked about it on the pod, but I noticed some in this one that were particularly stupid.
Okay, hit me.
One of them was towards the beginning, and it asked the viewers, do you think Rob was targeted by an arsonist?
I saw that one too.
Which is a ridiculous thing to ask, because you're going to tell the audience what happened in the next 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, what is the goal here, Dateline? For those 10 minutes, you're just going to have some killer interactions on X, formerly known as Twitter, and then the next question comes along, and like, what is the engagement purpose here?
Kate. What you just said has been my complaint about online interaction with TV shows since the dawn of the internet. Hearing you say this, it's just like, keep going. Cause you're just, this is the answer's already there. So it's already old news, or it's a spoiler for somebody who hasn't watched the app, or it's an asinine question that nobody gives a f- about. And also, if someone started the fire, they're an arsonist. Guess what? You do one fire, congrats, you're an arsonist.
It's going to be a big week for the Bachelor, kid.
When it's immediate feedback about what is currently on the screen,
yeah.
It makes no sense. Because by the time those viewers would tweet their response, it's already moot.
Yeah, especially in the day and age where the only things that gets watched live is sports. And like State of the Union and stuff. How many people are watching it live that can enjoy it like that? I do not know. That's hilarious. Oh, okay. Now to cap that off, I'm going to read you one of the comments on the old episode. word for word.
Hit me.
So on the Fire Inside episode, people were calling it a bait and switch and they were mad about it because it's like, you said it was going to be a serial killer. To which I say, hey, sorry that they didn't fabricate a serial killer story for you, bro. Like, I don't understand what you want out of life. They're reporting on true things that happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not everything can be about a serial killer.
No.
It's kind of like not every race can end with a photo finish. That's not the way it works.
Agreed.
Okay, boom. So people are spitting all this stuff, but I'm just going to read this right now and just let's enjoy and just hope that this person is no longer feeling this way. It's easy to armchair QB, but it sure seemed like reasonable doubt existed in this case. Hey, so far so good. Like, this is all on the level. This is one of the people that we're okay with watching Dateline. And then it continues. However, if the spurned husband is indeed guilty, I have empathy for him. Now I'm getting a little worried. Right? He's siding with Tony Tung.
Mm-hmm.
He was in love with his wife and family, and her unchecked libido was a destructive force / factor. I just don't understand these folks with young families who step out on each other while they're married and raising their offspring. It's very, very sad, and I feel for the husband and the children. I'm sure the French woman has yet another man in her life.
Whoa.
Well, I'm sure she does too, because Tony's in prison and Rob is dead.
And that was 12, 13 years ago. That's a good point.
That sounds like an incel.
Absolutely. I mean, I was super bummed when he turned on ladies so quickly. And then at the end, when he threw in the French part, I was like, oh, this is a monster. This is an onion here. He's got layers of hate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to the case. Tony Tung goes on trial. We hear from Sophie. She was not interviewed by Dateline, but we heard her. We heard her on the stand.
We did.
And she had to tell that story again that...
He said that there was a bedroom in his basement. So we went down and we made love.
Boy, I bet that really killed Tony Tung, though, to have to hear all that again. I bet he was sitting there stewing. That's like the only... joy I can get out of it.
She was very close to the microphone.
And we made love.
The picture they showed at first had to have been high school in the 90s.
It looked like her high school prom photo.
Yeah.
But her husband was next to her in that photo.
Yeah.
I think it was from their wedding because when they zoom out, he's right there.
Yeah, that was wild. I didn't put two and two together picture to face when that lady walked into court because there were 20 years between that picture in this trial.
Mm-hmm.
But she went up there and she did it and it was tough, but she did it. And he is found guilty. Life. He's going to prison for 65 years.
And Rob's family's reaction in the courtroom when they read that verdict,
gold.
They were shocked. It seemed like they really weren't expecting him to be guilty.
I mean, honestly, when they showed that in the preview, I thought that was the family of the convicted.
Same.
Because they were like, how dare you put my dad in jail?
That's how shocked they seemed.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild. It's wild. It's the reaction that you would put in like moments to sell a show about a courtroom drama or something. Like that's like as high as it gets in a courtroom drama show is somebody reacting.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good. And what'd you think about that photographer? Hey, use a long lens and do this from across the way. Did you see him turn around and point blank snap photos of her as she was crying? Like they were in like church pews, it looked like.
No.
Yeah, there's a photographer. I mean, he's there for the newspaper or whatever. But he was sitting in front of her and he just straight up turned around and went click, 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 click. I don't know.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. Okay, so, hey, good news. He's guilty, right?
No.
Flash forward a couple years and Tony gets an appeal with a new attorney. Thank God.
Hey, a new attorney that didn't do as good as the old one. So maybe he should have stuck with the Fred wannabe.
Maybe, but I do think Tony deserved to get the appeal in the first place.
Of course.
Because there wasn't actually any proof that he murdered Rob.
Here we go.
Like, there was no proof. But my thing is, I don't care. I don't like Tony. I know that's not a reason to convict him, but he's dumb and annoying, and I don't like him.
Boom. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's it. That was it. That was there.
That's it.
I love it. Now, I get your point, and honestly, as I was watching it, I was going, I'll bet Kateline gets this appeal, and I get why. But here's what's crazy, though. The appeal is not based on lack of evidence. The appeal is based strictly on the testimony of the interviewing detective in the first trial. That's what the appeal is based on. Whole hog. Had nothing to do with anything else.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy? Or no? Is that not crazy?
Okay, well, what was it about his testimony that was grounds for an appeal?
I got it right here. Because don't you worry, Kate, I read either a summary or a transcription. Yes, it was that long of one of the trials, okay? Boy, was I digging on this one. I was reading court transcripts, all right? Crazy law words. It was, my eyes were almost glazing over, and then I'd get a little tidbit, and I'd go, boom, back in. Okay, so when the detective was brought to the stand in the first trial, he made references that improperly encouraged the jury to make negative references. And repeated references that he invoked his right to counsel and refused searches of his computer and car. So their problem is that the cop was up there saying, basically insinuating, I knew he was guilty. Like, his vibe on the stand was, he's fucking guilty, here's why, kind of thing. I get that.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting to me because I agree with that. And as I was texting you yesterday, watching Anatomy of a Fall about a court or a trial in Italy, I feel like this is a strictly a U.S. law thing. You can hint at someone's guilt in other countries big time, I think.
Probably.
I think it's like different rules.
Yeah, probably.
Because anyway, that's a sidebar. But anyway, so the detective was insinuating that he's guilty. I mean, that reminded me of the guy of Mustang Sally.
Mustang America.
I'm in Mustang America.
When the guy in court was like, they asked him when did you have sex with the defendant? And he said, the day that she killed her husband. And they were like, whoa.
Objection.
Yeah. Jury, get out of here.
So good.
Oh. Okay, so they appeal this thing and it works. He gets a new trial. Now, this is where they focus on the information we do have. And now I think this information right here, I think it's confirmation that he is guilty. And I think even in, like, law-wise, I think this proves it. Do you remember what that was?
No.
So Rob was killed between 10:30 and 1 a.m. on this night. They have footage. One, Tony said he was in his whole apartment doing Facebook and washing dishes for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't say he was doing dishes for 2 hours, but they do make a point to say there's no f***ing way he was doing any dishes. Because, I mean, it was a dump.
I have a problem with this, though.
Oh, okay. Hit me.
I do. The argument about doing the dishes doesn't make sense to me because they show this photo of the apartment looking disgusting,
yeah.
But that photo was not taken the night of the murder. So how do they know what dishes were in the sink at the time? And clearly, he has to wash a dish if he's going to use the dish. So who's to say if he was washing some dishes or not? And like, I get it. He sucks. He's gross. He's guilty. But his gross apartment has nothing to do with whether or not he was washing dishes. Gross or not, you have to wash some dishes to use them.
I think that's a great point. We don't know what day that photo was taken.
No.
Who says that's what the dishes situation was the night of the murder? Yes, but that, I say yes to that. The dishes do not condemn him. But he said he left his apartment at 1 a.m. to go get beer. We have him on tape at 10:40 or 9:40 leaving his apartment, and he's got something in his hand that he's hiding, and he like gets it from his car or whatever. Okay. Now, also, his phone and everything was active until 9:38 before he left, and we saw him on his footage go to his car and leave his car or whatever. So he was inactive from like 9:30 until like 2 a.m. So there's a window for that killing to happen.
And when did that 911 call come in?
I mean, an hour or two. I mean, the fire was in a neighborhood. It was 30 minutes after the fire started or something.
Right.
Because 2 hours after the murder, he's wiping his computer clean, which they had a fun time really selling. Now, if you're the textpert, I'm pretty good about how big file sizes are or whatever. And he says 170,000 bits. So that's 170 megabytes. That's
like a Word document.
That's like a lossless. A Word doc is way small. Point is, it's not a lot. It would not take 2 hours to delete 178 megabytes of anything. It would not take 5 hours. Future Kurt here. Okay, I had to hop in and just say that 170,000 bits is not 170 megabytes. Current Kurt is stupid. 170,000 bits is 21 kilobytes, okay? That is absolutely the size of a document, of a Word doc. So Caitlin is correct in saying that that's what it is. But also, I don't know. Personally, from my stoop up here on Wright Mountain, my guess is the guy misspoke, and he really meant 170 gigs, maybe? I mean, that could potentially take a few hours to delete. I don't know. Caitlin, correct about document size. However, she was very wrong about old dude's earring, okay? There ain't a chandelier in sight anywhere. That guy is a hoops man, or at least he was on this dateline, because he's always wearing a hoop. Caitlin was right about the doc size, wrong about the earring, and back to the show. Now, they made it sound like, they even said it was the equivalent to setting his computer on fire. No, he just deleted stuff. I don't, you can't, look, it's super suspicious that he wiped it an hour after the murder. He is unaccounted for both digitally and physically for the hours of the murder.
The forensic evidence, video surveillance, etc.
That, I think, condemns him. Then we get Sophie on the stand, and we hear the story of when he said he's going to go buy a gun so that he can protect himself and the family. He tells her that, he leaves, comes back to the house with a brown paper bag, hands it to Sophie, and says, what's in it? It was a gun. Now, extra info. That mother left the house and withdrew $2,000 from his bank account that day. Unaccounted for. Got the gun.
Did you show Sophie a gun?
Yeah. So I was holding it for somebody.
What I want to know is, so where is this gun? He said he was holding it for a friend. Okay, who's the friend? When'd you give it back to him? Like, I've got a million follow-ups that can crush this right now. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they insist on saying, show me the gun you bought, dude?
Yeah, he's hella guilty.
Yeah, and then they have him another one of his weird ass responses to AC is because he called a friend in Texas.
Right.
And it's like, do you have any magazines for this Walther PPK gun, or it wasn't a PPK, but a specific type of gun, a 380.
It was the same exact gun that was used to kill Rob.
Right, boom. So that's pretty suspicious right there. His reasoning is, oh, you know, you live in Texas. Aren't these things cheaper over there?
Why do you need to ask a friend in Texas for that?
It's like a conversation starter. He's in Texas.
A conversation starter? I need a 380?
No, this is something else. Like, oh yeah, by the way, you're from Texas. Aren't these things a little cheaper over there?
What? What? I'm sorry, guns are cheaper in Texas? Guns are cheaper in Texas? What the f*** is that? That doesn't mean anything. That's insanity, right? Is there any part of you that thinks guns are cheaper in Texas because they like guns more than New Jersey does?
I don't know how much guns cost.
Me neither, but I really doubt they're cheaper in Texas. So anyway, if I was the prosecutor, that's when I would say, case closed. Guilty.
When Tony was telling AC about the times that he went to Rob's house to, like, hang out, and she was like, why would you do this? I was laughing because he said that he and Rob had a lot in common.
Here we go.
They both liked food.
And?
Because liking food is a unique experience that not many people would share.
Well, he did call himself a foodie. Mm-hmm.
The men had things in common. They were also foodies. Love to eat.
Okay, but what else do they love? They both love something else. And old Tony Tongue got a genuine laugh out of me on this one. Do you remember what he said?
They both like Sophie.
They both love Sophies. He said it plural. He goes, we both love food. We both love Sophies.
Obviously, we both love Sophies.
That was funny. That's it. You don't think that's kind of funny? That's kind of funny.
I want to know what Tony and Sophie had in common. Because they don't even seem like they'd be friends, yeah, let alone married with three kids.
Yeah, that's a great question. Who knows? Because that guy, he was super psychopathic before he murdered somebody.
Diabolical?
Yeah, despicable.
The recording of the keystrokes is next level crazy grounds for divorce.
And what is this, like, sophisticated French woman doing with this idiot?
Yeah, this f***ing dildo. I have no idea. He really did suck. And he tried to play like he was over it. Because also, Tony reads the emails. Sophie finds out about Tony reading his emails and stuff. Sophie files for divorce. 3 days later, this murder happened. And it was like, it was almost, because it was a year before when they first met and he found out. But it was because the kids finally met Rob, and they called him Robbie, and they went to a museum together. Mm-hmm. And they have security footage of Tony with the kids. The kids are assuming, going, I met mom's new friend or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the third time that Tony went over there, Rob finally didn't let him in. Like, Murdoch was like, would you ask him if he wanted to sit down and have coffee? And he did and stuff. Now, on the third time, he said, I'm on my way to work. You can't come in. Mm-hmm. So finally. But that's the thing is, not only did he go over there and talk to him for 3 hours, he said that he talked to Rob that day. He went over another two times. I mean, it's insane. It's crazy.
The one time they had to stay on the patio.
Yeah. And he said it's because of his wife or whatever. It's like, no, because you're a psycho and he doesn't want you around his dog or his kids. You're a weirdo, dude. Mm-hmm. We want you out of here. And with that, I believe it's list time. What do you say, Caitlin?
Unnamed list. It's not a small town. There's no Florida connection.
Nope.
There's no military connection.
Nope.
Nobody cries and says I'm sorry.
Another part of the Facebook comments that is going to be fascinating to read is that some of those comments read like they're from people who live in that town or know the people.
Oh.
Because a lot of them are like, because a friend in the first app calls him Mr. Mama, apparently. That wasn't in this one, but they call him Mr. Mom. And people have a field day on the comments saying like, I haven't watched this yet, but that is so far from the truth. They act like that's the craziest thing they've ever heard.
Hmm.
Interesting, right? Like, it's it's very interesting to see responses from people who know the people in this story.
Yeah, it's a good angle.
Yeah.
I have nothing on my list. Pass.
Okay. Kick-ass list.
Kick-ass list.
I have one item that hit today, and it was a movie mentioned by name. Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of the things that Tony Tung was doing while he was washing dishes in the shithole.
That's right. He was watching Raiders.
You were home on the computer between the Raiders of the Lost Ark and surfing the internet, Facebook, and different things.
Do you like Raiders? You like Raiders?
I do. I don't like the scene where Indy is eating dates and offers one to Marion and has to explain what they are and that they're edible. So you mean to tell me that an American woman who has the street smarts and capability to run a bar in the middle of the Himalayan mountain and drink those dudes under the table wouldn't know what a date is?
Yep.
Especially when they're in the Middle East, where those dates are from.
Marion.
Hey, what's this?
It's a date. You eat them.
A better way to have phrased it would be like, would you like a date? They're super fresh. And she could say, I love dates, especially when you're in Marrakesh or whatever.
Okay. I agree. That's annoying. I feel like it may have been put there for American audiences, though, in 1981, not knowing what the date is.
But that's what I'm saying. She could have had the exposition. Give that to her instead of making her an idiot.
Yeah.
Have her be like, yeah, I love dates. They're so good, especially when you get them fresh from this region that we are in.
You're right. That's a great point. I take it back. That's it. That's a burn on it.
But instead, she's a dumbass who doesn't know what a date is. Come on.
Yeah. Not cool.
But other than that, love the movie.
All right. So Indy, not cool sometimes. Tony Tung, not cool all the time.
Diabolical.
Despicable.
And on that note, I'm Kurt Money.
I'm Kateline.
I'm Lester Holt. For all of us, I'm Lester Holt. Good night.
You eat them.